Is it? Oh, now she's on. Sorry. Oh, that is super loud. My voice carries anyways. All right, y'all. So thank everybody for staying and not leaving before I got up here. I really appreciate that. So I have this section, Let Us Run With Endurance the Race That Is Set Before Us. I firmly believe that I was asked to speak on this part because there's probably not anyone here that runs more than I do since Brian Haskett wasn't invited. To this, I fully believe that that's why I was tasked with this section. I do run a lot. Those of you that know me know that. I've run for a long time. So this section of scripture has always been very, very personal to me in my running and in my life and whatever. I do want to talk a lot about, I will have some like personal anecdotes in here. I do also want like you guys to participate, ask questions. The only question that you're not allowed to ask is when there's a race that I recently did that I will talk about a little bit that was a little bit long and it was a lot. And you're not allowed to ask me what's wrong with me and why I did that. That's the only question you're not allowed to ask is why I would do that to myself. My mother has asked me enough times. So y'all are off limits to y'all. So the scripture, the section that I have is let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then I have a couple of quotes there at the beginning of your pages. I'm just going really straight through your pages that are in there. It's just the scripture's little space for you to make your own notes. The first quote I have there is from Rudyard Kipling. I'm assuming most people, Rikki Tikki Tavi, that guy, the same guy. For the strength of the wolf is the pack, and the strength of the pack is the wolf, which clearly has callbacks to your cloud of witnesses, the people that you surround yourself with that we have already been spoken on. And it's also spoken on in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. That is really the scripture that calls to mind for me when I read this, and that's the scripture. You don't have to look it up, because once I start, you're going to know it. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And as Rebecca had... she does a great introduction to our cloud of witnesses, these people that have gone on before us. Who is your cloud that you have with you now? It's your sister sitting here with you right now. So for example, the last race that we will never talk about again that I ran in the middle of January, it was a 100K, which is 62 miles for you non-colonists. It's a 62 miles. It took me 19 hours. Yes, it's 19 hours. And there was a... I know the hush falls over the crowd. 19 hours. I didn't plan on it taking 19 hours. In my head, it was going to take 17, which I know still is ridiculous. But I understand that. When I got to about mile 40, I'd been alone for a little while. I had friends out there. Several people in our running group had all gone out there together. A couple of girls, we'd stayed in the Airbnb the night before, done the whole thing, gone out for pizza, whatever, doing our thing. But that's a long time for people to stay. You're not going to stay together the whole time. But you know that there's people out there that you know. They know you. They've got emergency contacts. Clark's tracking me on the phone, but not really because we lost cell service because we're out in the middle of nowhere. He's a little bit worried, whatever, I'm taking too long, whatever. So I get to like my 40-ish, and I've been alone a really long time at this point. It's getting cold. I've been alone for a while. So I get up to the aid station at mile 40-ish, and this particular race makes it very, very easy to quit. Very easy to quit, because every aid station is by the main road. And then they take you back into the middle of nowhere, and then you make your way back out to another section of the main road. You can be back to your car within 10 minutes from any aid station on this race. You can be back to your car within 10 minutes. Don't forget the 19 hours. Right, let's not forget that. So I make it to like mile 40-ish, and I'm stopped at the aid station, and I'm crying because I'm so tired, I'm so cold. I've been alone a really long time, and I don't like to be alone. I just, in general, I don't like to be alone. And so a couple of my friends, they're there and they're fixing to head out again. And she's good. She's in great shape. She's fantastic. He's like, okay. And I'm crying and I'm eating a Pop-Tart and drinking a Diet Coke, trying to get my, because what puts you back together better than a brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tart and a Diet Coke? And as I'm crying into my Diet Coke. And they leave and they go off and they're like, all right, Jen, we'll see you in a little bit. And I'm still kind of like crying to myself together. And then a couple minutes later, they turn around. I see them coming back. And I'm like, hey, did you forget something? I was fixing to head out, whatever. They're like, no, you. You. And I was like, wait, what are you talking about? They're like, no, we came back. We're gonna do this rest of it with you. And he looks at me and he says, for the strength of the wolf is the pack, and the strength of the pack is the wolf. Well, I'm crying again. And I'm like, for me. You came back for me. They came back for me. So we make it, we go through, and again, the wife, she's fantastic. She's in great shape. She's physically, she's great. Mentally, she's great. I'm mentally falling apart. This is the longest race I've ever done. The first time I attempted doing something this long, I quit. I didn't finish. I was alone then too. And he's now falling apart physically. He's stopped. He's throwing up and all these things. These things happen on races. And in that, as we're going through, I know y'all are like, Jen, again, you're not allowed to ask why. Don't. Just save it. As the longer we go, I'm realizing that I would quit if he wasn't here. Because he's violently ill. And I'm not going to leave him out there that way. And he knows Jen's falling apart, like in her head. She's not holding this together anymore. And if I don't continue, she's going to quit. She's going to give up. Because each of us can be back to our car in 10 minutes. And finally, the clock clicks at 19 hours and some minutes, and we finished. And I'm crying again, of course, because I'm like, I'm never running again. I mean, I have, obviously. But where are your people? Like, do you have somebody who's going to turn around and come back and get you? Yeah, you do. They're sitting, everybody's like right here, right? It's the people here with you. They're going to turn around and they're going to come back and get you. And they're going to make sure that you do what it takes. Like because the things, like Catherine was talking about, the things that are not, that are my weight, the things that are holding me back is not what's holding Jade back. We're not going to have the same problems. So maybe I go back and my mission, because I'm going to get Jade to that finish line. And the whole time she's thinking, I've got this part together, but Jen's not there. I'm going to get Jen to that finish line. You got to have your people. And the people in this room are your people. Always look. Don't be afraid to look to your people. Look for your people. Maybe it's not, and we all relate to the list that Rebecca gave us. But who is the person who's going to sit and hold your hand? And who do you find after church when you need them? Who's checking in on you? That's your people. Because this group is only as strong as like the wolf and the pack, the wolf, the whole bit, right? Rudyard Kipling was super smart. Like, lean into it, right? So even though we are going to talk about the race is your own and running your own race, let that like simmer underneath. Can we let that, don't forget that part. Let's let that simmer underneath. And then going to another quote that I think about a lot. It's by a girl named Kara Goucher. She's a retired runner. She doesn't really run anymore. She commentates, whatever. She's around my age, which is very elderly in the world of professional running. She says, the race always hurts. Expect it to hurt. You don't train so it doesn't hurt. You train so you can tolerate it. What do we think about that? Like, how much do you think about training, the training runs? It hurts. When I got the lifting the weights and doing the things, it hurts. Those weights that are weighing you down, whether it's you know, Catherine had guilt and all these things, they're weighing you down and it hurts. But every day that you make it through with those weights and you learn to let that weight go, you know you can handle the pain of another weight. You know you can do it because you've done it before. And we know it's always, there's going to be something that hurts, but you know you can get through it. You learn to tolerate this. the more you go through. I didn't just wake up and run 19 hours planning on 17. There was stuff that went into that. You know, like there's a lot of stuff. Ask my husband and children. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And you go through that so you can tolerate getting to your goal, whatever that goal is for you in your life. But us for here, obviously, we have our goal of getting to heaven. But maybe sometimes it's that daily goal. I'm going to get through my day today because life is coming at me. I got to get through my day. I'm going to look at the race as just today for me. So let those things, like learning to tolerate it, the wolf, the pack, all of that, let that like kind of simmer underneath things that we're going to talk about. And then in your book, I've written out just a few little things. I don't have like cute PowerPoints. I was busy running. I didn't make a PowerPoint. Because she's funny too. So we want to talk about, I have the word endurance there, a couple of blanks. I want you to think about, what do you think about? When I say the word endurance, what do you think about? Like, what's a definition or what do you think about? I mean, you can shout it out loud. I'm not going to act like I'm going to remember your name because I'm so focused on, so I won't remember anybody. So if I think about endurance, what does that conjure up in my head? Pushing yourself is one. Sweat, there's a little bit of that. Childbirth, which running a marathon, I tell people all the time, running a marathon, what does a marathon feel like? It feels exactly like childbirth. You know why? Because just when you think you can't withstand anymore, it's over. You walk funny for a couple of days and you can't wait to do it again. That's running a marathon, you guys. Can't wait till it's over. What else? Anybody else have anything like quick on endurance? Anything? What was that? Start out like you can hold out. I love that. That's perfect. Just keep going. The ability to just keep going. Tolerate. Love it. So a couple of definitions that I looked up, and I looked up both like just like in your regular world endurance definitions and then like spiritual endurance. So I'm going to kind of, and what everybody said is kind of like the same thing, right? It all kind of overlaps. One of the definitions is getting through the trial without compromising or wavering. I'm a big fan of that one. Getting through the trial without compromising or wavering. Another one, the fact or the different parts of speech, which I'm not going to get into that. I'm not an English teacher. I jog. The fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Quotes, she was close to the limit of her endurance. Another one, definition, this is more spiritual. This is where we start leaning into spiritual endurance or steadfast endurance, which I like that. Just not just calling it endurance, but steadfast endurance. The power to withstand hardship or stress, especially the inward fortitude necessary. Inward fortitude. Whole lot more going on inside. You will physically give up before you like mentally give up. Like it's man, there's all kinds of stuff going on, right? It's denoting or relating to a race or other sporting event that takes place over a long distance or otherwise demands great physical stamina. The annual 24-hour endurance race is an example of that. This is my favorite one, spiritual endurance, basically what we're talking about today. Endurance means I want to be an honorable vessel. I don't want my life to get in the way of what God has called his people to do. So again, that one, this is my favorite one, again, which I feel like really encompasses what this Hebrews 12 is talking about. I want to be an honorable vessel. I don't want my life to get in the way of what God has called his people to be. Am I running my race of endurance in a way that I'm not getting in the way of what God wants his people to be, how he wants us to be? And then anybody else have anything on endurance? Go ahead, Ms. Haskett. He's probably said it to me, but go ahead. Just stick to the plan.
And so if we're looking at that in a spiritual realm, you know, we have God's word, we have the plan, we know what we need to do. And
stick to the plan. There's going to be things that are going to come up to get in our way. The weights, all these things encumbering us that Catherine has spoken to us about already. Those things are going to happen. Can I navigate my way around them? Can I navigate my way through them with endurance to get past them, to get through them until the next thing comes? Because there will be a next thing, right? We know that. But yes, there's plenty of things Brian has told me about endurance. And then on to race. We know, basically, when I say race, I mean, everybody's like, well, yeah, like, if you're not first, you're last. Let's go fast. Let's do all the things. Like, who's first? Who's last? I do want you to think about that. Like, we do the racing, right? Like, we know what racing is, whether it's, like, on a horse, on your own 2 feet, in a car, whatever. Like, we all know what racing is, right? This is the a few definitions that we had here that I looked up. A competition between runners, horses, vehicles, boats, etc., to see which is the fastest in covering a set course. We can all agree that's what it is. A competition with another or others to see who is the fastest at covering a set course or achieving an objective. So that one brings in competition between other people. Let that one sit for a second. Move or progress swiftly or at full speed. All right. And then the last one, this is one I did not know. A strong or rapid current flowing through a narrow channel in the sea or a river. And this is the little, how they use it in context. Angling for tuna in turbulent tidal races. Never thought about that. But then once I started thinking about that one, I was like, a strong or rapid current flowing through a narrow channel in a sea or river. Do we ever have the narrow channel, y'all? That narrow path. It's not wide. Like, they're angling for their spot in that narrow channel. Now, think about that one as we think about running your race and through your endurance. It's not always wide and easy. That's not what it's going to be. We've never been told it's wide and easy. It's narrow. It's hard. Like, nobody's familiar with the tuna angling. Like, we're not familiar with that one, but I had never read that as a definition of a race. So I do like that definition brought in thinking of angling for my spot in a narrow situation that's not going to be easy to navigate through. Now, what does that make us think about our race every day? And then really all I had next. So now that we know what endurance is talking about, we know what race is talking about, because I firmly believe, I don't believe that I'm going to inspire anyone to run a marathon or download the Couch to 5K app on your phone tomorrow morning. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I do, however, feel very strongly that there are lots and lots of references in the Bible to endurance and races and these physical competitions that I think we do need to have some kind of sense of what is being talked about in that and what that feels like and what that is. Because as Catherine said, you can't be a spectator here. You got to get in there. You got to jump in the game, right? So I do want to try to, like, I will have some, like, personal anecdotes and little things, like, mixed in to kind of illustrate what this kind of thing feels like, you know. And not everything feels like a 19-hour, like, thing, like death trial, you know. But, I mean, my husband is out running a race right now, and he just sent me the picture of the sign. It's a bobcat, like a mountain lion, like, thing. And I'm like, and it says on there, like, don't get too close and, like, make a ruckus if they come on you. And I'm like, man, just make a ruckus. You don't even have cell service right now. Like, there's always... There's always a thing, right? There's always, no, it's true. And why are we, see, don't ask why we are the way we are. He's out there with the mountain lions right now, and here I am. We're probably both equally uncomfortable. So we'll go through, and I'm starting at verse number one. The first verse on your list is at 1 Corinthians 9:24, and I am not married to the order of these verses. I'm going through it. I changed the order like 1,000 times, so if you feel like they should be in a different order, cool, I probably do too. So we'll talk about this first one, which seems to be completely opposite of what I talked to you about, the wolf and the pack and that. So 1 Corinthians 9:24, all of these are from the English Standard Version, which you're welcome to open up another version if you'd like. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. We're all in this race, right? And we can all win. Like, the goal is that we all win. But I can't run that way. I got to run so I'm going to win. I can't do this for Lauren. She has to run her own. She's got to do it on her own. No, I can turn back and get her and get her to the next aid station. But I can't run it for her. I can't do her training plan for her. I can't do that. So in this one, it really the competition of the Christian life is not, it's different than the athletic race, right? Because I'm not trying to beat you there. We can all get there, but I have to run like I'm the one. Like I'm the one. I have to put so much effort and so much work into it that it's mine. It's mine. Because no one can do that work for me. I have to do it for myself. I have to follow that training. Just stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. I got to get up every day, and the plan says do this, and I got to check those, but I got to get the plan done every day. Cindy has to get her plan. Tressa has to get her plan done. I can't do it for you. You have to own your plan and do it. So we're not trying to outdo each other. I can't outdo you in righteousness or recognition or accomplishments here. Well, I brought food to 12 people last month. Not what it's about, y'all. We all have our gifts. We all have our things to do here. Because not every wolf in the pack does the same thing. But that pack is strong because they all do what they need to do to ensure that pack all survives together every day. That's what we're trying to do with this. We're not competing with each other. We're all in this together, but I have to put the effort in like I'm going to be the sole winner. Like there's been a couple of races that I've run, and this first story is ridiculous, but it's 100% true. So I'm out at this race, and it was 12.4 miles specific, right? And I see that the prize for the first woman was this amazing Lululemon gym bag. It's like a $175 gym bag. I wanted that gym bag real bad. It was a nice gym bag. I wanted that gym bag. So I'm like kind of sizing up the crowd. I'm like, I think I can do this. Jen's been putting in the work. I think I can do this. So I start running, and it was it's a 20K, so it's two little 10K loops that we had to do. And on the first one, I'm like, okay, I was the first girl through that first one. Okay, let's just hold on. Hold on tight, Jen. Let's get this thing done. That bag is yours. Going home tonight. And sure enough, I ran hard enough. I won the bag. And I ran so hard. It's ridiculous. I finished 20 minutes ahead of the second place woman because I wanted that bag really bad. That's like 90 seconds per mile faster than the second place girl. I really wanted that bag. I still have that bag. It's still just as cute as it was that day. And I just look at that bag, and I'll probably never get rid of that bag because I was like, yeah, Jen, you won that bag. But I put in I wasn't giving any other woman a chance. Y'all, no. Wasn't giving her a chance. I ran like I wanted to win that bag. And I did because I put every step, relentless. Relentless is the word I use all the time when I'm like doing something like that. When you're going for a goal, relentless. Don't accept, second place wasn't going to get that bag. They had one bag. And then a few months ago, some of you guys have seen some of my stuff on social media. I work with a charity called Ainsley's Angels where we push special needs athletes in a wheelchair, and I run with, have my little girl, Kaylee, that I push in lots of stuff. And there had been a couple of races where we were like, second place, like I'm pushing her. And then one of the times they let boys beat us, and I was like, that's not fair. And life isn't fair. But really, I'm almost 47. I should not have been competing with a 19-year-old boy for pushing. I'm just saying. Just saying. But anyway, so we got to this other race, and I was like, if somebody beats me today, they're going to earn it. They're going to be sorry. So we, not really. They're like, who is this Jen? She's not that way on Sunday morning. No, she's like this all the time. So we go out, and I'm kind of sizing up the competition. I'm like, oh, that girl over there is fast. She looks fast. Looking around, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to run like I'm going to win. Because it was some running shoes. I wanted these running shoes. And Kaylee was also going to get running shoes. She can't really walk, but she needed the running shoes. I know how ridiculous it sounds. Trust me. I do. I get it. I fully get it. But I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Not today. Jen and Kaylee are going to own this right here. And so we did go out there, and it was painful. I run, like, long distances. Like, I am not good at these short, fast things. But this is a 5K, pushing my 90-pound teenager in her wheelchair, whole bit, right? And most of the other athletes were wheelchair. It's not. This was a fundraiser thing. It's a fundraiser, and I was still this way. Don't ask it. Why are you the way you are, Jen? Don't ask that question. And so we get there, and, like, I mean, it was all out. Like, I am all out. Like, my chest is just, I feel like you people around me could see this. And Kaylee's all excited because we're going fast and she can't talk, but she's making the sounds and waving her arms, which makes it harder and all this. And we get there and we're done. And I'm like, we were the first girls done. Done. Owned it. Super pumped about this. So I get to win running shoes. But then I didn't realize that I'd run so hard. And I'd done the thing, and it was great, and whatever. Yeah, I'm excited. Kaylee's mom is excited. Kaylee doesn't know the difference if we're first or we're last. And then they're doing, like, awards and whatever, and I'm super excited. I'm going to get her up on that podium. I'm going to hold her up there. We're going to do our thing. I ran so fast and so hard. I was so laser-focused on this goal. I was the fastest girl, period. Not even just the girls running with a wheelchair. I was so laser focused, I had no idea. Because I was only focused on, like, the other girls pushing the wheelchairs, right? Because I was like, that's who I'm racing against. No, like, it was out of everybody. And Kaylee and I got our shoes and the whole bit. But I was that laser focused on what I wanted to accomplish that day. I mean, it was 22 minutes. But laser focused on what I wanted to do. Where is our laser focus? Are you running that hard so you can win? We're all going to win. We're not all going to win, right? But we can all win. Christ wants us all to win, but you got to have that laser focus to get you there. You don't have to do that at a charity fun run, guys. But just an example, like I was, that's how we are, right? And then moving on into Philippians, the next one, which I am happy with these two being in order. Philippians 2:16, holding fast to the word of life so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. That I put in the hard work. Like it wasn't for nothing. It wasn't for nothing. Like, I am going to get that prize. That hard work, that chest pounding, I'm on the verge of, like, losing it. Like, it was worth it. It was the pain of those weights that I had to learn to let go. It was worth it. It wasn't for nothing. I have never, and I work in health and wellness, too, and I've run, like, 15, 16 marathons. I've lost count, like, on the half marathons and all that. I've run, like, 6 or 7 ultra marathons, which is anything longer than 26.2, don't ask the question. Why? Don't ask it. No one ever, ever, ever gets to the finish line, reaches their goal weight, gets off medication, whatever, and says, that work really wasn't worth it. This is terrible. This is terrible being off medication because this is terrible, like, fitting into my pre-pregnancy goals. This is terrible getting that medal for running the best marathon of my life. No one, that doesn't happen. You put in the work and we reap those rewards and we're always glad we put in the work because it was always worth it. It's always going to be worth it. It's never in vain. The weights that we learn to toss off beside us. The struggles that we go through every day. I don't need to reiterate the weights and the encumbrances. We've been through it. The things that our cloud of witnesses, these people, the things that they've been through, the things they suffered through, then they get mentioned in the Bible. Do you think that they would say it was worth it? Was that 100 years of building a boat worth it, or was that for nothing? I think we can all, they would, totally worth it. I really don't think that anyone could argue with Noah that he would say that, yeah, nah, a lot of work. He and his family, it was worth it. It's always worth when we put it in there. But it also, moving into what I thought Catherine was going to steal my thunder for a minute on this next part, but she didn't steal my thunder. She gave me a nice little intro about this being a, this is personal. This is personal. I can't be a spectator in it. The spectator doesn't win the Lulu bag. The spectator doesn't get the shoes. Like, the spectator doesn't get the little finisher medal. They don't, you don't, that's not what the spectator gets. The spectator is left empty-handed. When you participate and you get to that finish line, you accomplish that race to the end, that's when you get your reward. Whether it's shoes or a medal or a t-shirt or a banana or whatever is waiting for you at that finish line, that's what it is. Only those who have taken it on as a personal quest to get to that finish line, that's the ones who get the prize. So it's always personal. God's will for our life is it has to define who we are. It has to define who we are. It will define the way we run, the way we train. How you do anything is how you do everything. Have y'all heard that one before? Like, it's on bulletin boards, it's on Pinterest, it's on people's Instagram. How you do anything is how you do everything. All of it. How you train. How you train, how I train for my 5K, that better be how I prepare for Bible class. The number of hours I put in to train for that 19-hour debacle doesn't even hold a candle to how much time I spent on this, because I was terrified of both things. Like, how you do anything is how you do everything. It has to be personal for you, which then all of this, I want to take us over to 1 Timothy, where he talks about, you know, we're putting in the work, all these things. We've made it personal. You can't be phony through this. You can't fake your way through. I would love to fake my way through a marathon. You can't. There's no way. It's impossible. It's impossible to fake your way through these athletic events, these athletic accomplishments. Like the gladiator people that we talked about, they would have died. Like, you literally would have died. You have to put in that preparation. You have to make it personal. So taking us over to 1 Timothy, while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Which, again, it's personal, and we have to put in that training to get there. Like I like I said, I didn't just wake up and decide to go running for 19 hours. That's not how that happens. I didn't wake up and decide that I was going to win this 5K. Like, I mean, I kind of did that name, but like, I had put in the work to make that a potential. The potential was there for me to be able to do that because I had put in that work. And so we put in that training, and we can get very hung up in the things of the world. Like Catherine, she gave us that intro. I'm not going to rehash that. Great list, ways to talk through it. When it says godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come, that life, the present life is the race we're running every single day. The life to come is that finish line that we want. That's what we want. Are you racing in the way that you train? Are you putting in the work in your training plan, but then it comes to racing, it's like, meh, meh. No, because how you do anything is how you do everything. We put the value in the training, the everyday, all of that. We put that value in there, and then we let it shine through when we're in our race. Every day, waking up to conquer that race, every single day. We've not been called, again, this active participation. We are not called to just sit on the sidelines. The spectator doesn't get the shoes. The spectator doesn't get the whatever, right? They don't get that. It's the active participation. We are not called to take it easy and just meander through our life. We've been called to run a marathon race, and it can't be a passive endeavor. These athletic endeavors that are referenced in the Bible, the races, the training, the Grecian games, it was not passive. The competitors all competed to win the prize. Because very often your life, your physical life, truly did depend on it in those moments. But we've been called to run this, to put in the work so that we can see this prize at the end. You know, and there's a thing that people will say when they're getting ready, when they're preparing for races and things, you need to race like you train. Like, Catherine, the race, did it have Powerade or did it have Gatorade? She knows what she needs to do when she gets to the race, so she does the right thing. The race is not the time to just, oh, let me try these brand new shoes and see how they feel. No, you will come back with no toenails. You'll come back with nasty feet, whatever, right? Like, no, that's not the time to do that. Let me have new breakfast the day of. Not the day. Not the day for that. You don't want to visit a porta potty after mile 20. Trust me. You don't want that. Not the prize you're looking for. You got to know what to do. So we practice this all the time. Until it becomes what we do. Maybe I set a reminder on my phone. Like when I wake up in the morning, I set a reminder. I'm going to spend 5 minutes with God. Spend 5 minutes in the Word. Pretty soon, you don't have to set that reminder anymore. It's become what you do. That training for this race that we're in every day has just become part of your natural day. And then you find another thing. It's called habit stacking. Have y'all heard of habit stacking? It's habit stacking, where I have like, so that comes easy. Now I wake up and I did set the reminder, but now I don't need the reminder anymore. I wake up, I do my thing, whatever it is for you. Now that's become like rote. That's become what I do. Now I'm going to stack another habit on it. So maybe now what I'm going to do is I'm going to text out some scriptures to a couple of girlfriends. Just like a little morning coffee, a little thought for the day. And then now the alarm on my phone, the reminder on me, because I'm gonna send out. And who am I gonna send it to? I don't know. I'll put that in there too. Because I'm not leaving anything to chance. I have 73 pages up here. I don't leave anything to chance. Like I'm gonna make sure like I know exactly who I'm talking to, what I'm doing, right? I love a checklist and I love to be able to cross those items. I love it. So that's what I'm gonna do. That's the way I'm gonna do it. And then pretty soon, I don't need to set a reminder anymore. Because now I woke up thinking about Kristen. Because she was on my list. So now what can I stack on top of that? But maybe now the stacking has become that now Kristen's caught on and she's going to do the same thing. And now the strength of the wolf is a pack and the pack is the whole bit, right? You see how it grows? It keeps growing as we're all in this race together. But it started because I did my part. That's how that all starts through. And then now it becomes very unpleasant in Hebrews 12. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Very often, we think of discipline as, you know, we're going to discipline our children. We parents, we love to talk about that. We love to talk about disciplining the children, blah, blah, blah. Like, we love that. How do you discipline yourself to do what you need to do? It's that self-discipline. In various places in the scripture, the race is described in not very pleasant terms. It's not pleasant. The race can also be described as agony. The first person who ran a marathon, y'all died, by the way. Yet here we are. So that will speak to the agony that it is. The very first person attempting this marathon died. That's why it's 26.2 miles, because that's the moment that he just died. So it's a great definition of discipline that I think applies, that I found this one, because again, I looked up a million definitions. Discipline is explaining to your brain every day that you need to sacrifice immediate pleasures to receive greater rewards in the future. Discipline is explaining to your brain every day that you need to sacrifice immediate pleasures to receive greater rewards in the future. What do we think about that? Like, talk about it. Like, what do we think? Anybody? It's hard. Somebody said it's hard. Who said, is that Kristen? That, oh, super hard. Why is it hard?
Because you have to sacrifice.
The sacrifice. The laser focus. Sacrifice usually means giving something up. Giving something up. I could ask Tressa right now. What all have you given up over the last 6 months while you're training for the marathon? How many things have you had to give up? Sleep? Time with your family? When I was first early on, now I feel like I have a stomach that's made of steel. I can kind of eat whatever I want and like go eat like and go run. I mean, I guess until you've had a bacon-wrapped Oreo at 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a 60-miler, you really haven't lived. But I know when I first started doing all this, like, we had the same thing for dinner every Friday night before my long run on Saturday morning. Like, girls, are we tired of it? Ready for mom to be done? Like, that, my family was like, can we eat anything else? I'm like, nope. TikTok, Woodlands Marathon is March 2nd. We will on March 3rd. We can then explore other menu options. But until then, no. No, we won't. No, we won't. What else are we giving up? What do we give up? Catherine has spoken. What are we giving up? Lauren, I think you were trying to say something.
Convincing myself.
Convincing ourselves. What do we need to convince ourselves of? That it's actually going to be worth it in the end, because how hard is it right now in the moment to give it up? Nike had it right, just do it. Nike gets a lot of things wrong, but that is 100%. Like, really? Like, not to like oversimplify whatever, but most things in life really are that simple. You either do it or you don't. Don't have the option to quit. I was 3 aid stations after I wanted to quit that 19-hour travesty. That's how it shall be referred. 3 aid stations. They're only 5 to 6 miles apart. When you can barely move your body, that 5 to 6 miles, I know in your car you're like, it's 5 minutes, Jen. No, it's hours long. It's hours long when you're uphills, downhills, you're using hiking poles, there's loose rocks underneath you. You've already been moving for 15 hours. Upright. Moving your body for that long. I had the option to quit. It was right there. But what would that have done? I could not. I didn't want to leave friend because I didn't know if he was going to like fall over at the next aid station. Like, what would I, my family sacrificed so much for me to all the time that I'd put in training for this. I'd taken off work several times. So coworkers are filling in for me when I can't be there. What do I tell them? Yeah. I got a little, so I decided to quit. How do you think that would go over with those people that had been there with me, had helped me out, to my kids? What do I tell my kids? Mom wasn't feeling it, so I just quit. What do you tell yourself when you look in the mirror the next day? You wouldn't feel it anymore. It was really hard. Man, I was cold and hungry.
You know, sometimes that old saying, how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time. Did y'all hear that? The old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
So when you have these weights, you know, and we know what our weights are, and you find out if you just, like you say, do better when you focus on yourself. And obviously, the rest is ongoing. That constant, not just I pray every day. I communicate with him every day. I'm not letting an hour go by without saying, Lord, I love you. If I have nothing else to say, Lord, I just want you to know I love you. He knows that already.
And we know our kids love us, but we sure like it when they tell us, don't we? Sure is nice to hear. Same thing with the Lord.
One bite at a time.
100%. 100%. Another thing that I had looked at, and we're kind of in like, this is when things go wrong. This is when the hard section. Training is like building a sandcastle. Every grain of sand is important, even if you can't see them all. Every little thing we do every day, it's all important. All of this training to get through this life, to reach that ultimate prize. It's all there and it's all important. Even if when we look back, we don't really see it. Because maybe when you reached out to someone here and you just sent them, hey, saw this and thought about you, thinking about you, you'll forget in a couple of days probably that you sent that text. You might forget about it, right? I promise that person that you sent it to will never forget about it. They will never forget it, ever. The things that people do, like friend, he may not remember in 10 years that, oh yeah, we came back and got you at that mile 20 when you were crying and eating your Pop-Tart and Diet Coke. I will never forget the moment that he turned around and said, we got you. I will never forget that moment. Every grain of sand is important to hold that castle up. Back to the wolf in the pack. What are you doing to hold up this sand castle here? Are we putting it's all there and it's all important. Every step of it is important. Sometimes we think that we're not as important or what I'm doing is not as big and not as good. But maybe there was a prostitute who saved those people. Can we say that Rahab was lesser on that list than Abraham? Can we say that? We can't say that. They're all on the same list. And that list is not prefaced with, in order of importance, not alphabetical. In order of contributions to the kingdom. That's not what the list is. They're there so we can find someone in it. Find someone there. And it can be painful going through these things, especially when you're the one you feel like, you know what? I really hated being the one that needed to be like gone back and gotten. In that moment, I hated that. I hated that. I would much rather be the one getting Kaylee across that finish line first to the girl that can't walk to get her a pair of shoes. That's where I want to be. But don't we all? Don't we all want to be there? But it takes both. It takes all of it to get us there. And then we continue. I kind of a little speaking on this same thing took us back to Ecclesiastes. This is one that I think about a lot when I'm running. And I used to be really fast, and I would really try to, like, win. And I could win, like, a lot, and I would try to win a lot when I was young and foolish and didn't know any better. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. I may put in all the training, and I'm ready to run the race of my life. But that weight comes back at me. The weight I thought I had gotten rid of just keeps coming back. What do you do when that weight comes back at you? What do? Accept that this is just my plight in life? Or do we find a way to get rid of it again? Because, you know, maybe it got in my way. You know what? Wasn't my day to win. Another day will be my day. That wasn't my day. But through God's grace, I have another day to try it again and to push through again. And then in 2 Timothy, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Which seems very like, well, of course, like you have to follow the rules. But I have found in my athletic life that's not always, people are not always here to play by the rules, right? But again, how you do anything is how you do everything. The race is set before us. God has laid out that race course for us. God laid it out. I don't get to make up my own race course. I don't get to navigate this the way I want to necessarily. It's the course that God has put out for me. There's going to be things I'm going to trip over. There's going to be potholes in the pavement. There's going to be tree roots popping up on the trails. That's what's going to happen because I don't get to choose. I would choose an easy run. I would choose an easy path. I think most of us, if we're speaking about it honestly, we would choose an easier path. We wouldn't choose to have the roots pop up. What might that root be in our lives? That root may be a spouse, an unfaithful spouse. That root may be, I have a problem with lying. That root may be, I have children that I don't know what to do with right now. That pothole in the road may be an aging mother that I have to now take care of. That wasn't in my plan. How do we get through that? You just do it. We lean on other people around us. This cloud that is with us, we lean on them around us to do this. Because Christ does give us these rules for our godly life, the training plan. We have our training plan. Things are going to come up in the training plan. What do I do? Well, day 3 out of 4 month training plan. Day 3, well, things didn't go like what I thought. You just get up and you do it again. You give it another shot. Which pulls us into my last verse on there in Hebrews. Therefore, do not, this is one of my favorites of anything. I think about this one a lot too. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Do you have confidence? Like, no, really, do you have confidence? That you can do this every day? Or do we get so overwhelmed and like, man, I'm such a mess. Like if only these people around me knew what a mess I was, Rebecca. If only they knew what a mess I was. If only you knew how many times I screwed up yesterday, you probably wouldn't have taken one note on that I spoke today, right? Like we can get in our own way. Have confidence that God has put it within you. Yes, Cindy? Stick to plan. 100%. Trust the plan. God has given you that plan. We have the plan. It's in there. You have your plan. You can do it. God would never ask us to do something that's unattainable. That's not his plan for us. His plan is that we all finish. We all do this. That's his plan. Seeing the race that God set out for us is a lifelong marathon, and we must commit ourselves to run to the very end. You can't give up. You can't let up. Satan is waiting for you to let up and give up. Satan is waiting on you to take the car from the aid station back. He's waiting on you to give up, to take the easy way out. He's just waiting to pounce. He's waiting to pounce. He's the guy at the aid station with the heater and the good food and all that, just wanting you to stop what you're doing. He's wanting you to stop because then he's got you. He doesn't want that person to come back and say, Jen, I got you. He doesn't want that. He knew at that moment Jen was going to finish. The race is our Christian life. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And we are called to stay the course that God has set before us, that Christ laid out for us. It's not a mistake. Christ doesn't make mistakes. This course that's in front of you is set out for you and your purpose to get to the finish. If he didn't think you could finish it, he wouldn't have set this course out for you. It's there so you can finish it. And Paul uses at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. That's all we have to do. You can finish. And you have everybody here wanting you to finish, being the one that's going to come back and get you when you just don't know if you have it within you. And one thing that Brian did teach me, so full of wisdom that Brian Haskett, that when things in a marathon, things are going to get hard. When you're in your race, things are going to get real hard. And there's going to be roots that pop up in front of you and trip you. There's going to be that sign that's tied up and it's dark and you trip over it and you eat it. There's going to be these things that are going to happen. You have to just know that and accept that. And you have to know that it's coming. But how do you get through it? And sometimes when I get through it, I don't turn into myself because that's not how I'm going to fix it. I'm not going to wallow in Jen fell and Jen's got this and Jen's got this. I'm going to look toward somebody else. How can I do this? So that was one thing that Brian had said. He gives this suggestion to everybody who will listen, which is not enough people on this one, in my opinion. Don't tell him I said that, Cindy. When things get really tough, especially those last like 5-6 miles of your race, things are real tough. You're hurting, you're tired, you're ready to be done. You feel like it's over, I can't go on. Think about somebody to pray for. Who needs you? So mile 20, I'm going to spend all of mile 20 thinking about Jade. Because she's just as nervous as I was today. So I'm going to spend my mile 20, I'm going to think about Jade, and she's going to be great up here. Then I think about maybe mile 21 is my husband, who has sacrificed things so that I could get here. And I can run this race, and I can do this marathon, and I've spent the money, and I've done all the things, and there's family dinners that we didn't have, and I was going to bed at 8:30 every Friday night, and womp womp, that's no fun, right? He sacrificed things in life. And think about my kids. 4 months straight, I wasn't home for breakfast on Saturday morning because I was out running. I wasn't with them. So then my kids get some time for me to think about them, and all of a sudden, I'm not feeling so bad anymore. And all of a sudden, before I know it, I look up and there's the finish line right there. And I made it. And I made it. I made it through. Because you can make it through. Everybody here, we want you to make it through. I want to be the one that comes back and gets you. You may not want me to come back and get you. You may not be the one that needs that person. But we all are that person at some point in our lives. We are all the broken person who may not finish without somebody coming back to pick us up. It really is that simple, y'all. You really just do it. You get up every day, and either you do or you don't. Because how amazing is that going to be when we finish this race, y'all? You'll never be sorry for the work you put in and the sacrifices you made. None of us will ever be sorry for that. And Jay's going to finish you up. So she had more than 5 words to work with, though. All right, yeah. Don't we have a little break? Are we just switching? And then Jay's going to...
We're at mile 20
right here, y'all. We're at mile 20. Turn to somebody and pray for them a little bit. Get you through.